This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, this is Amy Harrison, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. This week, we're going to look at how you can use the power of envy in your content to motivate your customer to take action. But I want to say up front, this isn't about showing off to make your customer feel bad. Envy can be a powerful emotion if it's used tastefully, which is what we're all about here at Hit Publish. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. So are you ready to rouse a burning desire in your audience by using envy in your content? Let's Hit Publish. Well, this week I am all recovered from the cold that had been plaguing me the last couple of weeks, so things are back to normal. If you missed the episode from a couple of weeks back, on the 28th of September, it was three practical conversion tactics that actually work today. Go back to it, skip forward to 1 minute and 44 seconds, and you'll see just how important it was that I got back to good health for the sanity of all those around me. So with great vim and vigor, let's jump into the show, starting off with a shout out to some lovely listeners who submitted their content to the show. First up, we have Laura Christiansen. She runs the Blogging Bistro based in Seattle, Washington. She offers a number of blogging content and social media and web design services. And after the three conversion tactics episode, Laura featured the content on her blog. So thank you very much, Laura. And if you're interested in blogging and social media help, do check out her site because there's a lot of great info there. Roseanne wrote in to say that she was starting her own blog soon and was finding the information useful, which is great. I always love to hear about people about to start their own Hit Publish journey. So if you're about to Hit Publish or whether you've been hitting Publish for a while, don't be afraid to get in touch. I do love to hear from you. Belinda Weaver, who is a great copywriter over at Copyright Matters, she was surprised to find out that the word free, normally a sturdy workhorse of a persuasive word, didn't always work well to convert people when used as a call to action. And finally, Patricia from writewithpat.com was also surprised about the word free, and the idea of flipping a headline and subheading was new to her. If you missed the three practical conversion tactics episode, you can find that and all the other archived Hit Publish episodes over at hitpublish.fm. Now though, before we start looking at the power of envy, you know what time it is. It's time for the word of the week. As always, I've hidden a word for you to listen out for somewhere in this podcast. This week's word is peripeteia. It means a reversal of circumstance or a turning point, and is usually used with reference to works of literature. Peripeteia. Now, when you hear it, feel free to break out your favourite dance move and celebrate your find. Peripeteia, how will it be used? Also, if you ever manage to use a word of the week in your everyday language, let me know in the comments and I'll award you 25 Hit Publish points. You still can't redeem them anywhere, but never mind. The brain loves to play. Okay, now it's time for our Dear Amy letter of the week. Dear Amy, I often see online businesses using a tactic to encourage people to sign up for their product. It seems by trying to make potential buyers jealous. The thing is, sometimes it seems to work, for example, by showing testimonials of happy customers, but other times it seems really crass, like pictures of speedboats and so-called glamorous lifestyles. Is there a technique behind this, and is there a way of using it without being sleazy? Yours, befuddled, Rick. Well, Rick, you are absolutely right in that there is a specific and deliberate technique behind this. And you're right, the result is to make the reader or potential customer feel dissatisfied with where they are now, but more importantly, make them realize they want to make change. However, when it's done correctly, it's not so much jealousy that you want your reader to feel, it's envy. So what's the difference? Well, jealousy is a destructive emotion. It clouds your vision and your judgment and often makes you angry. Envy, however, has the power to illuminate desire within and then motivate action. So jealousy tends to happen when you see someone who has what you want and you think you can't get it. So, for example, you might be jealous of someone who, let's say they've been handed everything in their life and you've had to really struggle to achieve the same things. Now, you can't change anything in that situation. You can't go back in time and be born into a different time or environment. As a result, this could cause feelings of jealousy, and jealousy makes us feel stuck. Basically, we see something we like to have, but we feel that we can't get it. Envy, however, is different and a much more powerful technique to use in your content, because envy illuminates this desire you have. It sparks discomfort with where you are now because you don't have it, but it motivates you to take action towards getting it. For example, when I was about 11, I spotted my friend selling some leftover sweets on the school bus home. I think she made about £1.20 on that ride. And in those days, that was a heady profit for someone who was only 11 years old. I was very envious. And the most important thing was I was thinking, I could do that. I could do that and I could make that £1.20. It roused something inside of me, and so began my sweet selling empire, which ran for many months. I made a lot of extra pocket money. The post office where I was buying the sweets was actually ordering in more stock every day just to cover me. And then I was spectacularly shut down by the school, but that's another story. That's the kind of feeling you want your reader to have when you're writing about your business or service. You want them to feel like, oh, wow, this is something I would love to have, and I believe that I can do it, ideally with the help of your product or service. So how do businesses do this in their marketing? Well, one way that you may have seen is through the use of case studies and testimonials. For example, most weight loss programs will feature people who've reached their ideal figure by using whatever product or service they're promoting. And the idea is that a potential client looks at the result and thinks, "Ooh, that's what I want. I wonder if this could work for me." Now, as I said before, there is a fine line between getting this right and it falling flat. So what can go wrong? Well, one problem is sharing success stories that seem too successful. If your customer feels the results you're showing are going to be impossible for them to achieve, they might feel discomfort, but they won't necessarily feel motivated to take action. Another mistake is to make your reader feel that the people who have achieved what they want either have had some kind of advantage that isn't available to them, or that they've had to do something that's unpleasant or difficult or that they wouldn't want to do. For example, let's say you are sweeping a kitchen floor for a living. Nothing wrong with that. I had some of my best working life working in a kitchen. But let's say that you're doing this and you bump into an old friend. Here I am, sweeping the floor. Hey there, old friend. Long time no see. Oh, how are you? I'm fantastic. Just come back from a long weekend with Richard Branson on Necker Island, playing ping pong, getting pampered. I just got back this morning on a first class flight. Wow, God, that sounds amazing. Sorry, I've got to ask this. How do you afford all of that? Now, this is where you get three possible endings to this scenario, and only one ending would use envy correctly to motivate your customer. The other two will paralyze them and put them off. So our kitchen sweeper, they're looking at their friend and thinking, wow, I would love that lifestyle. But what kind of answer to how are you able to do all this will actually motivate them to take action? Here's ending number one. So, I mean, how do you afford all of this? Well, I work for this entrepreneur. Now, let's have a peek into our old friend's life and see what she has to do to get that amazing lifestyle of hers. PA? PA, where are you? Come here now. I'm here, miss. Right here. What is this? It looks like a blue M&M. Oh, miss, I'm so, save your apology. What did I say? I wanted 10,000 M&Ms and all of the blue ones picked out. And here I find one, contaminating the whole lot. I can't go on stage and be a successful entrepreneur with this sort of chaos. What kind of PA do you call yourself? Do it again. You mean, yes, get me 10,000 more. And once you've done that, I think I saw little Snoochie Poochie had done a whoopsie on your desk. Clean it up. And then get me packed to go to Necker Island. And you're coming with me. Huh, I look after you. Yes, miss. Oh, hello, Snoochie Poochie. Oh, you've gone in my shoe as well. Suddenly, if we heard this story, sweeping the kitchen floor is going to look pretty attractive. And we can kind of feel like, eh, that life would be nice, but I'm not prepared to do that to get it. So in your business content, this is the equivalent of someone reading a description about your product and service, but thinking, it's probably going to be too hard or difficult to use or far too complicated for me. So I want you to have a look at how you describe what it is that you do. If your process or product is simple and easy to use, are you emphasizing this fact? All right, now let's have a look at another possible ending. So how do you afford all of that? Ah, well, remember my father, the Playboy millionaire? Oh, well, no, you won't actually, because he didn't actually know I was his child when you and I were together at school. Well, he found out about me and I felt an enormous sense of guilt. So on my 21st birthday, he set me up a trust fund of millions. It's totally unexpected. Quite the peripatia. So these days I have enough money to just do as I feel. Oh, on my 21st, my dad left me these ferrets and his flat cap collection. Okay, so this is a slightly different, but just as paralyzing situation. Because again, our kitchen sweeper looks at their old friend, thinks, wow, they've got this great life. Oh, but they've got there by doing something that's impossible to me. You know, the successful old friend has this huge advantage. Now, this is the equivalent of your customer looking at your product, wanting the results you offer, but thinking that the people who succeed must have had some kind of advantage. And it doesn't have to be a billionaire father. It might just be that they think they need a certain personality, or they're not as popular, or even as smart as the people who have had success as your product. So for many reasons, your customer could look at your product and think, no, that won't work for me, when actually it could, and that's no good. And we'll look at how to combat this in a minute. So what about the final ending, the one that uses envy to illuminate desire and motivate your customer to act? So how do you afford all of this? Well, remember when you and I were at university and we set up mini businesses on the sideline? Well, I kept it up and slowly it started ticking over and making money. It got to the point where I was able to start donating some of the profits to charity and act as a mentor for young people wanting to set up their business. I mean, it was hard and it took many years, but well, the charity I supported recently had a get together sponsored by Richard Branson on his island and we all got to go. I mean, things like that don't happen all the time. But it's really great launching the business and watching it grow. It took a few years from setting it up, but I bet you could do the same. What was the name of that business you had? Write with Influence. It's the best online resource for writing better marketing materials faster and when you need to. I think you should push it. So this is the most powerful envy solution and a shameless plug for my Write with Influence membership. This kind of situation is the kind that puts fire in your customer's belly, and it's when they see something that they want and they feel like they can achieve it, ideally with your help. So in this instance, the results are desirable and the process to get them seems achievable. Our good old kitchen sweeper looks at her old friend and thinks, do you know what, she's got something I want and I think I could do something similar to get it. And this is why fitness videos and programs rely so much on before and after photos, because they want customers to look at people who are just like them getting the results that they want. Now, if their before and after photos were someone who was really ripped and then just turned into someone who's really more ripped, it's not going to attract your everyday person. And this is the other thing you need to remember. Customers talk themselves out of buying things all the time, even when it's things that could really help them. You don't want your customer to do the same. You don't want them thinking, oh, that's something I'd really like, but I probably can't get it. It's probably not for me, etc., etc. So how do you use envy correctly? There's three steps that work pretty well. First of all, you want to spark discomfort with some kind of story or description of success that they want. Number two, show them that people who have achieved these things don't have special advantages. And 3, show them how you can help them get there. So step 1, first of all, think about what your customer wants and the sort of person who already has this. Let's say, for example, that your customers are coaches and consultants and you help them build an audience to their online events. So let's say, for example, one of your typical customers might be a life coach and they're setting up their event for the first time, whether it's a webinar or a telesummit or something, some kind of online event. And they want to attract people using social media. So who might they be envious of? Well, they might be envious of other life coaches, but also maybe other freelancers, marketers, consultants, or anyone basically who is having some kind of successful online event. You know, the kind that you see where there's tons of people signed up, there's lots of chatter on social media about them. So, you know, these people have the things that they want. They've got successful events, events where hundreds, if not thousands of people are registering. And maybe they're getting lots of exposure on social media or being featured in well-read blogs and publications. So you've got this group of here of people that your customer probably recognizes and thinks, wow, I would love to have the kind of success that they're getting. So the first thing is to articulate that and explain, you know, that there are people who are having success in the area that your customer wants to have success. But then the next step, step 2, you've got to show them that this group doesn't have any special advantage that your customer doesn't have access to. Because it's not enough to simply point out that, look, here's something that you want and, you know, there's other people who are doing what you want to do. Because we're very good at talking ourselves out of taking action and making excuses about why it's not going to work for us. For example, oh, I'm not like those other people. I'm more shy. I probably don't have the time that it needs to make it work. And they've probably got more expertise or more magnetic personality, et cetera, et cetera. We're very, very good at talking ourselves out of things. Now, to harness the secret power of envy in order to illuminate desire and rouse motivation, you've got to make sure your customers don't reach this excuse stage. And what you have to do is show them that why what they're thinking isn't true. So in this example, let's say that you offered this service that helps people attract a crowd to online events. You want to overcome those possible excuses. So your copy might read something like this. It is possible to build an audience of hundreds to an online event using social media, even if you're brand new online or in your business. You don't have to have an outgoing personality or to be in the top 1% in your field. If you can offer value at your event, you can find hundreds of people who would love to attend. What's more, this can all be done without having a single social media connection as yet. So far what we're saying to our customer is, look, I know that this is something that you want. You might be thinking that these things are holding you back, but that's not true. And finally, step 3, you then prove to them why this isn't true by showing how what you have is going to help them. So for example, here's some sample copy for my made-up product, which is called Social Media for Events. Snazzy title. Social Media for Events is a 7-day course that shows you how to find people for your event quickly and for free. You'll contact real people who've been to similar events and are looking for more. Then you'll get a strategy for publishing easy-to-write content to attract their attention and direct them to your online event. The exclusive social media platform we've designed lets you reach up to 100 new targeted people every day and keep in touch with them easily right up to the day of your event. Get ready for a packed house online of people ready to hear from you. So basically what we're doing here is we're saying, first of all, here's something that you want. Here are the people that have it. Number 2, those people aren't different to you. And number 3, here's specifically how I'm going to help you have an advantage to get what it is that you want. So just to recap, envy is a powerful tool that can illuminate desire in your customer and rouse them into action. However, there are a couple of mistakes you want to avoid. You don't want to make it seem like what they want to achieve is impossible. You don't want them to think that people who have achieved this have some kind of special advantage that they don't have access to. And the best way to use envy with authenticity and integrity is to write content that shows people you understand what they want, you understand the excuses they may tell themselves about why they can't get that, you can show them why those excuses don't exist, and you can show them specifically just how you're able to get them the results that they want. So here's my question to you. What sort of envy might your customers feel? I would love to hear in the comments from you about what your customer would love to achieve that you can help them with, and also any excuses that might be holding them back. And how can you show them that other people have achieved what they want and that you can help get them there as well? Let me know on the comments over at hitpublish.fm. I want to thank you for being a quick-witted Hit Publish listener today. Now, if you found this useful, I would love it if you popped over to iTunes, left a rating and review. It takes just a few minutes. But apparently if you do, next time you have to make a phone call to a call center, you're 24% more likely to get through to the right department first time round. Worth a go, isn't it? Don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.